We prepare now ourselves to receive God's word, coming to the conclusion of the sacred time, which of course is only a new beginning, as it must be when we are receiving the inspiration, the inbreathing of the Spirit of God, which is what Pentecost is about. Preparing ourselves for that, we hear yet again that divine invitation to come away from worldly concerns for the time being and into that closer divine presence which will help us to open our inner ears and receive the Holy Word of God. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will refresh you. Here is part of the great hymn for Pentecost, the Veni Creator, as translated by J.N. Neale. O thou light, most pure and blessed, shine within the inmost breast of thy faithful company. Where thou art not, man hath naught. Every holy deed and thought comes from thy divinity. What is soiled, make thou pure. What is wounded, work its cure. What is parched, fructify. What is rigid, gently bend. What is frozen, warmly tend. Straighten what goes erringly. There are two accounts of the imparting of the Holy Spirit to the apostles by the Lord. One, the well-known one in the Acts of the Apostles, with the drama of the tongues of fire and the wind. And the other, in which we will find our saying, is in St. John's Gospel, in the 20th chapter, when the Lord appears to the disciples behind locked doors. He gives them his peace, his shalom, and then the account goes on. As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Receive the Holy Spirit. And receive the breath of God. The breath, the Spirit, the Word. All these things are so closely interrelated, it's difficult to disentangle them. There is, as one writer says, a frequent juxtaposition throughout the Bible of the parallel concepts of Spirit and Word. The term Spirit in Hebrew Ruach suggests the undifferentiated, all-pervading power of awareness and mutuality. The other term, word, dabar, expresses particularity and form, meaning and purpose. We ought not to make too much of this, for the two are as closely related as breath is related to voice. In the parallelism of Hebrew poetry, Ruach and Dabar. spirit and word are virtually synonyms. You can find often this parallelism. For example, Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Or Psalm 147. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. It is, says the writer, this same combination of spirit and word that God imparts to men in that unique phenomenon we call prophecy, the nearest thing to creation which man can ever experience. So this is the kiss of life, the breath of God. Perhaps you didn't know that one of the earliest experiences of the kiss of life is recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 4, when the prophet Elisha stretches himself on the dead boy, mouth upon mouth, and breathes life into him. Be that as it may, the Spirit of God inspiring the church to be the church. And as we know from our own contemplative experience, the Spirit of God inspiring us to hear the Word of God spoken. And it is the Spirit that brings truth. The more we listen, the more deeply we listen to the Word, the more we shall understand the truth of it. There are many references to the Spirit of truth in St. John's Gospel, in the 14th and 15th chapter, and the 16th chapter as well. I will send you the Comforter. He shall guide you into all the truth, says the Lord. How important it is in these days when there is so much distortion, so much muddle, to know the truth and to witness to the true things of God. And it is the Spirit. We are open to receive the Spirit of God, which will guide us into truth and help others through us to discern the truth. Proverbs 1:23, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you. And now for our contemplation, the word of the Lord. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We refer to prophecy, the spirit-filled utterances whereby the Word of God is expressed through his servants, the prophets. And as I'm sure we're aware, one of the main themes of prophecy is inveighing against idolatry, the idols, and one of the greatest accusations against the idols is that there is no breath in them. They have mouths, it says in Psalm 115, but speak not. There's no breath in them. And that is the same, really, for any idol, however that which is raised, as it were, as an alternative to God. I remember back in the early days of affluence after the war, many sermons preached against the idols of the age. In those days they were things that we now look upon as essentials, like refrigerators and motor cars. And so many preachers say this is the new idolatry. But I think these days, it seems to me, people tend to idolize the media, which is much more insistent, persuasive, as an alternative to truth. So very often that people get confused as to what is reality and what is not. And after all, when you are watching a television set, in spite of its persuasive nature, it has no breath in it. It is only a gadget. So let us have a little excursion into the minor prophets and look at Habakkuk in the second chapter of his prophecy. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise. Shall this teach? Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. The greatest accusation, but in this final verse, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. The teacher of lies. But it has no reality, no breath. We have to learn to discern truth from falsehood. And the only way we can really do that is to receive and re-receive the Spirit of truth, the Spirit which is the promise of the gospel. He and he alone shall guide you into all the truth. Only in this way shall we know the things of God, that which is true. The Word of God is alive and active and penetrates within the soul. We allow this Word now to sink more deeply within us into the feeling side of our nature, deep into our emotions, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We come to intercession. Let us do a global intercession and review the continents of the world and their peoples, something which is useful to do from time to time. We have a priest member in Australia who has been called to the contemplative life and is able to rise at 3 a.m. and he says the nations are, as it were, set up by the Lord for him to intercede for, as the crowds were set out in ranks for the feeding of the 5,000. Interesting concept. And he begins his contemplative work at 3 a.m. He seems to manage to do without much sleep. He's certainly getting on in years. That's Father Kevin Joiner. Be that as it may, we can do our bit perhaps as well. And using this word, realizing how much the world is in need of truth, the truth of God, as well as all the other divine attributes conveyed by God's Holy Spirit, which brought the world into being in the first place, and all humanity within it. So we receive the word briefly into our will as we prepare to intercede for the world which is in the hand of God. All you, my people, hear the word of the Lord. You, my people, living in this continent of Europe, the countries that make up this continent, you bearing responsibility in leadership for the peoples of Europe, you, my people, receive the Holy Spirit. So we use this word, and if you know people in any of these continents, then you will be able to visualize them briefly, name them in your heart, perhaps even out loud if you wish. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. We thank you once again for all your unsearchable riches, which pour forth from you as light pours from the sun, in boundless generosity and profusion. Whether received, ignored, or rejected, for the wonder and power of the gift of the Holy Spirit, energizing the Church to do your will. And once more we offer to you, in so far as we are able, as an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, ourselves, our souls and bodies, all that we are, all that we have, all that we do, a living sacrifice in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.